The weather did not improve as the day wore on, so that at 7 o'clock that evening, when Harry and Ron went down to the Quidditch pitch for practice, they were soaked through within minutes, their feet slipping and sliding on the sodden grass. The sky was a deep, thundery grey, and it was a relief to gain the warmth and light of the changing rooms, even if they knew the respite was only temporary. They found Fred and George debating whether to use one of their own Skyving snack boxes to get out of flying.
"But I bet she'd know what we'd done," said Fred out of the corner of his mouth. "If only I hadn't offered to sell her some puking pastilles yesterday."
"We could try the fever fudge," George muttered.
"No one's seen that yet."
"Does it work?"
inquired Ron hopefully, as the hammering of rain on the roof intensified and wind howled around the building.
"Well, yeah," said Fred. "Your temperature will go right up."
"But you get these massive pus-filled boils too," said George, "and we haven't worked out how to get rid of them yet."
"I can't see any boils," said Ron, staring at the twins.
"No, well, you wouldn't," said Fred darkly.
"They're not in a place we generally display to the public. But they make sitting on a broom a right pain in the..."
"All right, everyone, listen up," said Angelina loudly, emerging from the captain's office. "I know it's not ideal weather, but there's a good chance we'll be playing Slytherin in conditions like this, so it's a good idea to work out how we're going to cope with them. Harry, didn't you do something to your glasses to stop the rain fogging them up when we played Hufflepuff in that storm?"
"Hermione did it," said Harry.
He pulled out his wand, tapped his glasses, and said,
"Impervious."
"I think we all ought to try that," said Angelina.
"If we could just keep the rain off our faces, it would really help visibility. All together, come on. Impervious."
"Okay, let's go."
They all stowed their wands back in the inside pockets of their robes, shouldered their brooms, and followed Angelina out of the changing rooms. They squelched through the deepening mud to the middle of the pitch. Visibility was still very poor, even with the impervious charm. Light was fading fast, and curtains of rain were sweeping the grounds.
"All right, on my whistle," shouted Angelina.
Harry kicked off from the ground, spraying mud in all directions, and shot upward, the wind pulling him slightly off course. He had no idea how he was going to see the snitch in this weather. He was having enough difficulty seeing the one bludger with which they were practicing. A minute into the practice, it almost unseated him, and he had to use the sloth grip roll to avoid it. Unfortunately, Angelina did not see this. In fact, she did not appear to be able to see anything. None of them had a clue what the others were doing. The wind was picking up. Even at a distance, Harry could hear the swishing, pounding sounds of the rain pummeling the surface of the lake. Angelina kept them at it for nearly an hour before conceding defeat. She led her sodden and disgruntled team back into the changing rooms, insisting that the practice had not been a waste of time, though without any real conviction in her voice. Fred and George were looking particularly annoyed. Both were bandy-legged and winced with every movement. Harry could hear them complaining in low voices as he toweled his hair dry.
"I think a few of mine have ruptured," said Fred in a hollow voice.
"Mine haven't," said George through clenched teeth. "They're throbbing like mad. Feel bigger, if anything."
"Ouch!"
said Harry. He pressed the towel to his face, his eyes screwed tight with pain. The scar on his forehead had seared again, more painfully than in months.
"What's up?"
said several voices. Harry emerged from behind his towel. The changing room was blurred because he was not wearing his glasses, but he could still tell that everyone's face was turned toward him.
"Nothing,"
he muttered.
"I poked myself in the eye, that's all."
But he gave Ron a significant look, and the two of them hung back as the rest of the team filed back outside, muffled in their cloaks, their hats pulled low over their ears.